Hey everybody, and welcome to Stacey and Lisa's special show. It's Sex After 40, Unfiltered Taboo Conversations. Today we're really going to hit a lot of topics that women don't like to talk about, and these are topics that really are prevalent in our society. Today we want to just like touch some bases that really are really hot, and we really think they need to be talked about. And one of the things that we came to conclusion about when we were talking about all the different types of sex issues that women and men go through are, what we thought sex would actually be like versus what it actually is. Like I, Lisa, I don't know, maybe you want to start the conversation, but when, what did you think sex was going to be like, versus what it actually is for you?
Yeah, first of all, I just want to say how excited I am to sit here and talk to have met someone that I can have this conversation with, never mind answer this question. But oh my God, Stacey, I remember being like 10 years old and thinking that sex was going to be like this like mind-blowing, just like insane emotional experience where my body would like explode and like I'd go to another planet or something. So the expectation was, I don't know, unreal. I don't, what did you think?
I grew up when they had a lot of nighttime like sitcoms, like the soap opera like shows, like a Dynasty, and they had all these different shows, and all the movies we grew up with, they was like hot sex underneath the covers. They didn't show you what was going on, but you heard the moans, you heard the intimacy, the just grabbing onto each other and not wanting to let go, and just like having these wow crazy orgasms. And then we came out later, and things got a little bit more sashy and and savvy, and they start to show a little bit more as time went on, and sex looked amazing. It looked like it was going to be just like a totally awesome experience, like high school. I couldn't wait to meet that one guy that I wanted to connect with and have sex and just know what it felt like, and I remember like when I first had sex, it I was like I was in my late teens, and it wasn't a great experience at all. Nobody prepared me about like, when I was going to pop my cherry, it was going to hurt like hell. No one prepared me that I was going to bleed. No one, it wasn't anything like the TV shows and the movies I saw. It was a totally different experience. And I was kind of like, at first it was a disappointing feeling. And, it did have an impact, because if it didn't, I wouldn't have, still think about it. When you brought it up, boom, that was like one of the first things. It was the disappointment of like what the media made me think it was actually going to be like. That was the first experience. And to have that first experience like that is not like such a great experience. And I know a lot of women have that experience, because a lot of times, we would go out, a couple of girls, would have a glass of wine. We talk about everything under the sun. And sex always comes up when we laugh and
Totally.
giggle. That's like a topic, women, were told that it's supposed to be this a great, great thing, and when you first, tap into the sex world, it's not, what you expect it to be. It's totally the
No.
opposite.
Let me tell you about my experience. So me and this guy were planning to have sex on Valentine's Day. It was like this big grand plan. We were at my friend's place. Her parents were gone. So we had this room that we were going to meet in. And so I show up on Valentine's Day and he's got this huge gash on his lip. And I was like, what's happening? And he actually like cut himself with a razor and he had this like big gash on his lip. Anyway, long story short, we didn't end up having sex. And my first time ended up being in a car. I live in the country, down a gravel road with this guy that I was like, this is my end all be all. I'm going to marry this guy. And after we finished having sex, I remember thinking, was I supposed to feel good? Because I didn't feel anything. And then I felt like there's something wrong with me almost because of what you just talked about, like how the media just glamorizes it. And it was supposed to be this like magical moment. But I felt really confused and that I was missing something. I had zero pleasure in that. And yeah, then it just led me to like think about what is sex? What is this? Did I do something wrong? Was it my fault? So that was my first experience. It was just bizarre.
And as time went on and I got older, sex became like my hormones were like all over the place. So I was enjoying sex like as time went on. But like we're talking about like as we hit our 40s. So like during my young age, like it was great. Like after that one bad incident and as I matured, I would suggest to anybody, we don't have a young crowd listening to us. We have more of our age listening to us. But if I could redo it, I probably would have waited. I wouldn't have jumped in at the age that I did. I would actually have waited. But when you're young, you always think that you know everything. You think that that it's gonna whatever you put in your head, that's the way it's gonna be. Like you're right. This is gonna be great. This, I know everything. But I definitely would have waited. When I got older, my hormones were all over the board and I was having a ball. And then when I hit, later on when I got married and I had my three kids, I had three C-sections. I had to have C-sections. I didn't have a choice. And each time I had a C-section, the first doctor totally fucked me up. I had scar tissue growing
Why?
outside. Because when he did it, he just cut me the wrong way. And
Oh my
he
God.
cut the wrong way. He tied everything up, and then scar tissue grew from. It's called a. There's a condition name for it, but I don't remember what it is. And he left a.
Endometriosis? Is it
Yes,
endometriosis?
that's it.
Okay.
Yep. And the scar tissue grew on the outside, and it looked horrible. I couldn't wear a bikini. It was terrible. And then, every time I had a C-section, the second I went to a different doctor after that, because this was the old school, old doctor. How was I supposed to know? The other doctor was young. He was my age. He totally scraped all that scar tissue out. He cleaned me up. He gave me this really thin line that you couldn't even see. But each time, like I said, I had, I lost feeling down below, and I, it was harder and harder to have an orgasm. And by the third, I had three children total. By the third child, I became like numb inside. Like I could not have an orgasm. It took a very long time to get any type of feeling. And then all of a sudden, I went totally numb inside. So I was not feeling anything. So, for me, it was like I just wasn't enjoying it after a while. And it wasn't
That must
because
have
of
been
my husband.
so hard
It
on
was
your
because
relationship.
it was, and I didn't really talk about it that much. I just kind of kept it to myself for a while. Like I just didn't really, it was like I didn't even know who to go to, who to talk about it to. All I knew that is just, here I was, and I wasn't feeling anything, and husband's having a grand old time, and I'm not getting the orgasm. He's getting the orgasm, and it was more like, a more of a feeling of disappointment. Like, why? As if I can't even enjoy myself. And then I it just slowly I was going I perimenopause set in. I was one of those chicks that just it just happened at a really early age, and all of a sudden I just I wasn't feeling it inside, and I started to get tired, and all these symptoms started to come in. And it wasn't until I went to see, I confided in my husband. I started to talk to him about it,
So,
and
are you saying
he.
that you were having sex with him without feeling anything, and he didn't know that because you were hiding it because you really didn't know what to do with it? Is
I didn't know what to do.
that's
Yeah,
crazy? So, what did he say when you told him that, like, hey, I'm not feeling your penis inside of me anymore? Like, what did he say?
He was like shocked. He didn't know if it was assault or he didn't know if he was doing something wrong or, not you. It's like I just feel numb inside, And so then he knew a functional medicine doctor that we had a really good reputation, and he set up a date for me to go there. And the doctor was amazing, and the doctor gave me an O shot, and I never even heard of an O shot,
Yeah,
but
what is
it, for
that? I don't think I've heard of that either.
So what they do is they go down below and they totally numb you. And what they do is they go into your clitoris and they go into the certain areas in your vaginal canal and they withdraw blood and they spin the blood and they separate the plasma from the blood, and they take the plasma and they inject the plasma into certain areas of your vagina where you orgasm, and that re-stimulates tissue growth, and that re-stimulates feeling in your vaginal canal. So after that, I was actually able, like it, you know, it, you do like a Cinderella effect where it goes up and then it goes down the feeling, and then it comes. And so, you're not allowed to drink for a certain amount of time. You have to be really healthy, and then all of a sudden, all the feelings started to come back.
Oh, I would do all those things for an orgasm.
It
That's amazing. How long did it take before it came back?
got the O shot, it came back very quickly, but I didn't go for help for a long ass time. So it lasted I was going through this for several years without saying a word. And it was hard, and I was trying different and then because when the perimenopause came in, my libido, the urge to want to have sex, was going down. And so then I saw the matcha supplements, and the matcha root, and that actually increased my libido. But perimenopause is strong, and it just it works on your hormones, and as you know, your hormones control your entire body. So I eventually the functional medicine doctor did thorough blood work, and they were able to determine where I was deficient in and what I was low in, and they were able to balance my hormones, balance all the th in things in my body that I was deficient in, and my body went back to normal. It didn't happen overnight. But within 3 months, I saw like a small improvement. Then 6 months, I saw another improvement. And then within 9 months, I was starting to feel really good. And I've been doing it for years now. I've been doing it for close to 10 years, functional medicine.
It's functional medicine changed my life as well. But I mean, I'm 40. I feel like I'm going through a few of those hormonal changes. But when it comes to libido, like you and I, like opposite issues as we were talking about before, like I am like just horned up, like I just love sex so much, and sometimes I don't know what to do with that or where to put that energy, but add in a relationship, right? Like what did you say?
I said, give it to me. You got 2 months
But I mean, add in, okay, now that's me and that's like on my own, but add in a relationship, and you know when you're with someone for long term, keeping that spark going, keeping it interesting, keeping up with that. There's, kids are around. When do we do it? Our busy schedule. So it's like having to prioritize that and learning how to talk about it. Because it can be such a weird topic for people. I mean, you and I can talk about it openly and we're totally fine, but not a lot of people can do that. Never mind talking to your partner and saying, hey, babe, like, why don't, let's wake up and have some crazy sex tomorrow morning. Like we don't, why don't we ask for what we need or what we want?
Exactly. I think, it's sometimes like, I don't know what it is. I maybe watching my parents grow up, but I got, I'm not a shy person, but when it came to sex, sometimes like, I became a little withdrawn. Like, what I wanted, my certain needs to be met, like I didn't, vocalize it, and for me, I'm not a shy person at all, but for some reason when it came to sex, I was, I didn't vocalize needs. I've been with my husband, like I met him in English class, so we've been together over 30 years,
Crazy.
so you talk about like trying to keep the spice up, 30 years, it takes work to keep the spice and the flame going, especially like, when you start to get married and you start to have kids, the long hours working, and then your kids are not, where I felt like my kids were psychic. Anytime that we started to get it on, knocking at the door, it was like it was always like a no-brainer. It was like, someone's knocking at the door, mom, 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 dad,
You're just
and it
getting
was,
into it, and then all of a sudden, yeah, totally, totally, literally.
It's like, it's hard. So my husband and I, sometimes we do date night, we go away for like a day or two, and just like, try to escape, maybe have like, grandma or grandpa come over for the weekend, and just the kids for a day and a half, and we just have spent some quality time together, because it's so important, to try to keep that spice up, and keep that flame going, because it's so easy for that flame to go out for people. And it's so easy, when that flame starts to die out a little bit, and one thing too is what I noticed also is that when you have children, a lot of the moms like let themselves go. They are so embellished in taking care of their children, making them first priority. And children are a very important part of our lives, but you can't take care of your children unless you take care of yourself. And when you look in the mirror, I don't care who you are, if you see yourself letting go and you see yourself starting to deteriorate, where you're gaining weight, you're not taking care of your hair, you're not taking care of your body, and you're not looking the way you used to, you're not going to feel good about yourself, you know?
Right.
You lie to yourself, you're not going to feel good about yourself. And if you don't feel good about yourself, how are you going to be a positive energy to your kids? And how are you going to be able to take care of your kids when inside you're kind of battling your own battles as well?
Yeah, and like the reality is, like the better we feel about ourselves, I mean, when it comes to sex, like if I'm not feeling good about myself in that moment, I'm not going to feel sexy, I'm not going to feel connected. And so,
Yeah.
I mean, eating the right things. And I also want to say, like, defining sex. I know you and your husband have these date nights and these date weekends, and that's amazing. But, you know, Matt and I do that too. But sometimes we just have alone time and we just lay there together. We don't even have,
Yeah.
like, that's intimacy too. And that's so important in a relationship. So when it comes to, we're not talking about intercourse fully. I mean, that's a bonus and the gravy, and we all want that. But, like, intimate time, sex doesn't mean necessarily down and dirty. It means just connecting with your partner, talking, asking them questions, getting to know them. It's like, I don't know, like after 3 years, like Matt and I've been together, it's like I forget about the little things. So like asking simple things like, what did you like about this? What, like, is there anything I can do to love you today? Just little things like that. That's intimacy.
Yes. And I think a lot of people forget that. I think a lot of people, you know, they're so caught up in themselves in nowadays. You know, I've noticed people have, you know, it's not a lot of times people don't think about the other person. They get so caught up in their own lives and their own wants and needs. They forget about the other person and what their wants and needs are. And sometimes, you know what? I've also noticed that people change over time too. If you know, I'm not the same person I was 7 years ago. I'm not the same person I was 7 years before that. You know, like I, you know, as time's grown has grown, so is me, so is myself. And I am not, I see myself changing as a person, and I like who I'm becoming. But you know, if you don't connect with the person that you're with, that person is not going to realize those changes unless you verbalize them or unless you spend time with them. Because you know, unless you have good communication and you have a good strong relationship going on, you know, it's very easy to not know who your partner is, and you just grow apart. And you see that all the time.
Yeah, are you good at communication?
I am. I think I always need to practice it a little bit more because sometimes I get up in other things and I forget that, you know what, there, I need to take more time out. You know, we have so many gadgets and we have, you know, my iPhone's, you know, is beeping.
Yes.
Phone is beeping. You know, I'm hearing, you know, messages from the other room. I'm thinking about what messages I'm getting on my computer, or I need to check something and da 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 da, you know, and you get caught up in those little things. You're not spending time with your partner. You're not spending time, even if you have kids, you're not spending time with your kids. You're losing connection with the people you love. And if you're doing that with your guy, then you're, you know, that's how people get withdrawn from each other. That's how relationships kind of go south. You know, because you don't spend enough time getting to know each other, and before you know it, that person is not the same person you thought it was, that they were, and that's happened so many times. I think it's over like 60% of people end up in divorce, you know, and it's because people lose connection.
Yeah.
People are certain things in the relationship and they're not getting it in the current relationship. So then they start looking outside the relationship. And so I think it's important that we really, you know, take time to get to know our partner and appreciate them, show them that you appreciate them. I think that's important too. Sometimes we take for granted the people we love and we don't, you know, if we could take a few minutes to do something special or even say something special, you know, or like you said, a little cuddle time, just putting your arm around that person. It can mean the world to that other person.
Yeah, and I think you bring up a good point. It's like if we're not doing a good job at communicating with our partner, and if we are starting to feel like we're not getting fulfilled in our needs in that way, and we start looking outside, or we feel something outside our relationship, or you know, someone is interesting all of a sudden, that's a sign that we need to go home and work on our relationship. Because
Right.
when you commit to someone and you love them, that's part of what you've agreed to do. You've agreed to show up for them and be solid. So when you're triggered and you're looking outside, that means go home and you need to work on your relationship.
Exactly. And relationships can be fixed. You know, if you start to grow
They
apart
take
from your
so much work, so much work.
They do. Just but you know, everything in life takes so much work. If you want something to be good, you have to put in the time. And that's with anything in life, including relationships. And I
Yeah.
think, you know, the problem in our society is that people, especially nowadays, they want everything one, two, three. And nothing happens one, two, three. Everything, if you want something really good in your life, you have to put in the work. And that is in all areas of your life, including relationships.
I agree. I agree. Why don't let's talk about mismatched libidos. Do you and your husband like have the same libido all the time? Like, I don't know. Matt and I were talking, and Matt told me the story once. He said he read something that this couple had a board in their bedroom, and it was like a horny meter. So like, it one was for her and one was for him, and then they would every day they would like measure where they were at. So then if they were kind of matching, then they would like have at her, right? Like, because you
Yeah.
don't know. Like sometimes I'm all fired up and Matt has no idea unless I say something, right? Like, what do you and your husband have anything like that? Or I don't know.
I want to
Tell.
know where to get that libido meter, man. That sounds
Make
very cool.
one. Make one.
You know, I definitely think that we don't have, you know, the same libido all the time. Sometimes we do, but then there are sometimes we don't. Like, you know, there are times when, you know, one of us is tired from work. You know, the
Yeah.
other one might be as tired, and the other one is, you know, and then there's times when you go out drinking, and you know, for me, if I have a drink or two, I just get tired after a drink or two. Like, you know, I'm still having fun. I am, you know, some people say they're ready to go and they kind of wear
Oh.
out too, you know. I'm like, so like my libido goes down. Like, okay, you know, my
Yeah.
husband knows, you know, if he's gonna catch me, he has to catch me before we go out, because after that drink or two, I'm like, yeah, you know, so it's like
Okay, but men can't get it up after a certain amount of beverages either, right? So there's like
yeah,
a
you know,
sweet spot.
it's a sweet spot. Yeah, if guys drink a lot, it's gonna be very hard for them to get a hard on. If they get a hard on, it's not gonna be a very good hard on, you
Yeah.
know. And I don't, and if I hear guys talk about it, like if we're at a big dinner table and they're boasting about their libido and they're boasting, oh yeah, I'm great, you know, I can have as many drinks. I'm like,
Yeah,
okay, yeah.
me too. Me too. I'm like, you're so full of shit right now.
Exactly. Yeah, you know. But there are times when it's, you know, one of us is feeling it and one of us isn't. And you know what? We just give each other the common courtesies. If one person isn't, we're not gonna, you know, push that person to, you know, wanna do it, you know. Although there are a couple of times when it looks like I stole my husband's ice cream bowl, you know, from him, you know, because I just wasn't in the mood, you know. But you know, it's gonna happen in relationships. And for us, you know, I appreciate that he's actually considerate enough to, you know, if I'm not in the mood, you know, he won't push it.
Yeah, that's awesome. I remember a time in my relationship, like at the beginning, where I felt almost I don't know, like it was a hit on my confidence. If I was in the mood and I wanted to have sex and Matt was like, "Oh, I just not right now," then I would take
Yeah.
it personally and internalize that, and then I felt, you know, less than, not good enough. And I think that, you know, a lot of that comes from society and like thinking like you need to be desired as a woman. But that was,
Yeah.
there was a part in my relationship like I went through that. And so I worked on my confidence in that time of my life, and now I'm okay with it. But I remember a time when I just like felt rejected. Like
Yeah.
it was so tough. And then I was scared to tell him when I wanted to have sex because of that one time that, you know, maybe whatever was happening in his world, but it had nothing to do with me and not wanting me. It was because it just wasn't right for him. So I had to learn how to be okay with that.
I had to learn how to, like, when I was not in the mood, like, because I was going through a lot of like medical shit. And especially when I started to go through the perimenopause and when I was numb inside, there were times when I just was not in the mood, you know. And a lot of times it had to do with the perimenopause, just not having a lot of energy. And, you know, and sometimes like I felt guilty. I felt guilty that I'm not in the mood, you know, I'm too tired. And I would feel guilty about it, saying no, you know. But I'm not like that now, you know. It's like, if you're tired, you're tired. If you're, you know, it's not an obligation. You shouldn't feel like it's your job, you know. And
Yeah.
I know a lot of men do feel like that. And a lot of women feel that, okay, he takes care of me. He does this for me. He does that for me. He pays my bills. This is, I owe him. You don't owe anybody. It's not your job. If you're tired and you're not in the mood, you simply say, I'm not in the mood. Let's do it another night, maybe tomorrow. But no woman should feel obligated like they have to, like it's their job because maybe their husband or their boyfriend or their partner pays the bills and this and that. And they feel like, that they take care of the home and they go out and work. And, so it's part of the routine, it's part of the job. And I've heard many women say that, well, my husband gives me home and he does this and he does that. And, this is, I feel like, this is the least I can do. But, do you want to do it? Maybe one. Feel like doing it. Why are you going to do it? You shouldn't do it because you're trying to fulfill a need that you think they want. It should be an act of intimacy between two people who love each other, and it's expression of love and a moment of like, joyful play, that brings the two of you closer, kind of like a fun moment together, where you're both feeling good and really releasing tension. And it's, some people smoke a joint, some people have sex, and it just takes. But it shouldn't be something that you feel obligated to do. And I hear a lot of women say that.
I think when I was going through that time, I felt almost like if we didn't have sex or if I didn't show up, then he would just get it elsewhere. Like society just kind of pushes that out there that there's all these misconceptions about men and how they're just like horny all the time. And, they're so distracted by all this beauty out there. And, they're going to get it somewhere. If they're not getting it at home, they're going to go somewhere else. So, like, all of those like misconceptions were in my mind when I wasn't, healthy and my mindset wasn't in the right place. And I would just think that, uh-oh, like, where is he getting it from? If he's not in the mood, he's got to be getting it somewhere, right? But yeah, men are human.
Yeah, and I've heard that many times. Women just have the fear of, well, if I don't give it to them, they're gonna look for it somewhere else, or they're gonna get it somewhere else. I've heard many women say that.
Yeah, I think it just comes down to not the like being in the right relationship with the right person, because everything we're talking about is like you have to be able to talk about things, you have to accept each other as they are, you have to meet each
Yeah.
other where they're at, you have to be respectful of each other's lifestyle, you have to show up and give them to, oh my God, this sounds like so much work. How do we
We're like,
do it?
I don't know how we do it. It's like a day by day thing, It's I think it's you grow with somebody, you develop a love for somebody, and it's that love, that bond that holds you guys together, And, it's like you think about all the years you put together. It's like how are you going to find that relationship anywhere else? It's easy to meet. Easy to meet girls, but are you actually going to find, that solid relationship when some people have not found that solid relationship, but if you're going to be in a relationship, you want to find somebody that you could really have that connection with. You need it, that special connection that, and the connection once you find it, you'll just know. It's a feeling that you don't feel with anyone else. And when you have that connection with that person, that person is going to do whatever they can to make the relationship work, just like you're going to. And then if you don't, then it's not your relationship. It's not the right one. But people shouldn't blame themselves. It's just, and a lot of people do self-blame, or they try to blame the other person. And I say, when you blame the other person, it's a great way not to look at yourself and look at your own faults. And it's, and in relationships, we all make mistakes, but you have to be willing to try to work at it. And if you're not willing to work at it, then it's not the right relationship, because if it's not worth working at, then it's not worth being in.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think a lot of listeners are going to relate to all of this. And yeah, I mean, attachment style, like our own limiting beliefs and all of that plays a big role in our sex life and how amazing it can be. And yeah, just there's so many things.
Yeah, and and it's okay. Sometimes we have to, we have to share with our partners what we like and we don't like, and sometimes, like I said, I could shy up and maybe not be as vocal as I should, but that's something that is important to do, because how is the other person going to read your mind? If you don't tell them what you like and don't like, You can't improve your sexual life or make it better or, rekindle the flame. You have to be able to communicate with each other, and you have to be able to, and if someone likes something, maybe do more for that person in that area. It's a give and take relationship, and that's another thing too, is that some people get a little selfish and they want to take, and it's relationships are not all about taking. It's equal, and it should be, a give and take relationship if you want it to work.
Yeah, what do you mean by that? Take, like just keep taking advantage of your partner, or like what do you?
When I see relationships, sometimes I see a lot of times, not in all relationships, but in some relationships, people are always, they want more and more from their partner, but they're not really putting out. It's not a 50-50 relationship, whether it's in the bedroom, whether it's not in the bedroom. They're always saying, do this for me, do that for me, I want this, I want that, and they're not really doing much. They're just like sitting on the couch or, doing this or doing that, and they're not really showing their partner the amount of affection or the amount of gratitude. Gratitude is like a huge thing, where I was just talking about this with somebody, where it's the biggest energy and the biggest connection they say to God, because gratitude is powerful. We should have gratitude that we have someone good in our lives, and we should be able to like really respect that, in the sense where we give to that person. They give to us. Well, let me, what can I do special for them? Wow, they cooked me a great dinner last night, and they really surprised me, and maybe I'll bring home flowers tonight and surprise them, and not just like take, and maybe you had a great night, in bed with that person, and then the next day maybe you just need to do something sweet, and you just figure out, it doesn't have to be anything extravagant, but just something sweet to show that, you know what, I appreciate you. Because that's what makes relationships strong, is having gratitude and showing the person that you appreciate them. That's all. If a person knows that they're appreciated and respected, that relationship will go far, no doubt.
For me, like you just triggered me there. It's when Matt respects my time, respects what I'm doing, cheers me on, is my number one fan. I'm so much more like just I so much more want to just hump him. So I think, when we're both giving each other what we need, when we're showing up for each other, we're leading with kindness, we're supporting each other. Then the sex just comes naturally because we're vibing, we're connecting. That's actual connection.
Exactly. That's the key. It's like when you are making that connection, when you're really, giving and receiving with each other, and you have that solid connection, that intimacy in bed and that love making is going to be powerful, because have that solid connection with each other, and you're showing, other ways that you love each other outside the bedroom. So when you're in the bedroom, that love making is going to be even more powerful and more essential, and people have to realize that too. It's not all about them. We do have a selfish society. There's a lot of people that them, well, it's not all, when you're in a relationship, it's not them anymore, it's us, and so then you have to figure ways to make, things really spectacular, within the us family, the us circle. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I love that. Why don't we end with some advice that we would give to any of the listeners who might be feeling lost or stuck? Like, what would you say to someone who's like just really unhappy in their sex, in when it comes to sex in their relationship? I know for me, I would just tell them to start, showing up for their partner, treating them with respect, scheduling dates. Doing those things and making it a non-negotiable. It's so easy to schedule something and cancel because, you're tired or, you had a busy day or the kids were screaming all day. But make those moments a non-negotiable, write them on your calendar and show up. You can't show up like super in the mood all the time. But if you schedule it, you can get that mindset, you know what's going to happen, and then you just do it, just like anything.
I think one thing too is key, is that when you are communicating with your partner, you have to make sure that you know how you say what you want to get across, the message you're trying to get across, because everybody, takes things differently. Everybody has a different personality, and it's the tone you use and it's how you word things that can make a big difference. So
Powerful.
if is not, you really want to express something that's not making you happy in the relationship, or not, you're feeling uncomfortable with some things, you have to really think about how you're going to express that to your partner without hurting their feelings or making them upset. So communication is key, but you have to, some people just jump and say things. I think it's good to take a step back and think about it, and think about who you're saying it to, and think about their personality, and then try to reword it in a way that is not going to be offensive to that person or make them feel beneath themselves. Because especially when you're talking, if you're talking about sex, especially a man, that's going to hurt, because they have that ego. Men just have that macho ego. So you have to be really careful. And I think women take it very sensitively too. We just do it in a different manner. So we have to think about how we're going to say things when we talk about things. And for some people, if they have a hard time communicating, and it's getting very debating, and it's not going anywhere, then maybe counseling might be a good thing. And having that area where you could just have that third party there, that unbiased opinion, and work within that group, and try to see how you could actually work through the rough edges and try to make it better. And I, when it comes to relationships, I think, you can even ask the person, how do you think we can make this relationship better? What would you like to see? What are things that excite you the most? And start digging into your partner, and try to learn about your partner, because sometimes, we don't ask these questions. And like we said, people's personalities change, and you might find out some things about your partner that you didn't even realize. And that could make changes too. And that date night is super important, going out, having that time by yourself and just enjoying yourself. My husband and I always make sure, we have at least one vacation by ourselves. We try to do, we got for more if we can, but at least one vacation by ourselves with nobody, just me and him. And we just have, quality time together, and we just enjoy our time together, and we kind of let go of the rest of the world and get to know ourselves better, and be able to like rebond without thinking about the rest of the world. And if that when it comes to, just love and affection, I think the just the showing the respect, showing having gratitude for that person, and showing appreciation, I think those are key things that I see less of in our today's society, and I think it's really important. We do have a Gen Z generation that is starting to actually show those things more in their relationships. It's become more common, where it was, we didn't come from generations like that. We had the flowers here and there, and you saw certain things, but this new generation does things a lot more different, and they hit a lot more emotional things. When they have kids, they have all these big little boxes and cakes and all this other
Oh my
stuff. And
God, the reveal, the gender reveal. I see that every single day when I open up my Facebook and Instagram and TikTok. That's all there is.
Yeah, they do it for everything now. They do it for proms. They do it for getting married. They do it for like all things. So it makes it special, and that's the key, making things special in the relationship. How could we surprise our partners once in a while with something very simple? Doesn't have to, you don't have to spend money on it. Just something simple to show that you care. That's all. I care. I appreciate you. I respect you. And I'm happy you're in my life. And the smallest little thing sometimes could be that means so much to another person.
Yeah, talk about reigniting the spark. I love that. I love when you said ask the questions, ask your partner, like rediscover them. Because just like I change every day, every month, every year, so does Matt. So it's like I need to get to know him again. And it's like dating. You've got to continue dating the whole entire time. And then you discover something new, and then that's exciting.
Yeah,
I love
definitely.
that.
Yeah, rekindling is so important. I hear people talking about it all the time, because a lot of times people feel the flame is going out at 40 and 50. They just don't feel that spark anymore. Well, you know what? It doesn't mean that you can't, rekindle that spark. You definitely can rekindle the spark. You can rekindle it, outside the bedroom, and you can rekindle it inside the bedroom, and just do the things that we talked today in the podcast, and those things will definitely help to rekindle that spark. and make that relationship, what it was. And you're never going to have, and I think before we go, I just want to mention this. This is one big thing that I see all the time when I talk to people about relationships. They compare their relationships in their 40s and 50s to their relationships in their 20s. You know, if they, especially if they've been with a person for a long time or if they've been in relationships previously, they're looking at how they were in their 20s and how the relationship was in their 20s. Well, you're not 20 anymore. You're like 40, you're 50, you're 55, you're getting close to 60. You're not going to have those type of relationships. Relationships are going to be completely different. You're going to be completely different. You're going to be performing completely different. Your partner is going to be performing completely different. So you have to lower the expectations to be realistic and something that's going to be satisfaction to both you and your partner.
And I just want to add, and like just remain playful. Like, I know we're
Yeah.
not going to be that person we were when we were in our 20s, but remain playful and go back to those moments for inspiration and do little things, because when we're laughing and youthful and just don't take life seriously, I feel like
Yeah.
that's so important. It helps so much.
So much. That is such a great point. You have to be playful and even foreplay in the bedroom, have some fun, make it a,
Yes. Get some toys.
get some toys. Yeah,
Try each other
I
up. Yeah, have
don't
at her.
it's who says that the fun has to end after a certain age? Life, every
Yes.
day is a new beginning and you should treat it like that.
Yeah. Well, today, this was so much fun talking about sex with you.
Yeah, same here, Elise. I love
What are we
it.
gonna, talk about next time?
Well, I think we should think about something really good to talk about because there's a lot of things we could talk about. There are so many aspects. There are the emotional aspects, there's the physical aspects. We can go really deep into like low libido. We can go deep into erectile dysfunction. We can go deep into like different things that, people experience all the time. And, even, just the change of emotions, we as we change, our emotions change, our needs change, our wants change. Sometimes it's very hard to express our wants to our partner. We've touched a little bit on that, but we can go really deep on that. What are your wants? A lot of times people don't express what their wants and fantasies, everyone has
I was
fantasies.
just gonna say that. What do women actually want? We could share a little of those secrets.
Yeah, what are women's fantasies? What are men's fantasies? Men's fantasies are completely different than women's fantasies. Like men, I think, are more to the core, and I think women are more like a lot of them are a little bit more on the romantic side. But I a lot of women like porn too, and a lot of men like porn, and
That's, I was just
I.
gonna say, I think men don't really understand what women want fully, because we're like out there. Like, women are sexual. And so
Yeah.
I think men, I think our listeners will be surprised when we dive into those topics on
Yeah.
what women actually want and the fantasies and all of that. So I can't wait. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited too. Well, they're going to have to tune into our next episode and then they're going to find out what we're going to touch base on. But whatever it is, they're going to love it and it's going to be jaw dropping.
I bet it will. I'm already like excited.
Me too. Me
All right,
too.
Stace, we'll see you next time.
Definitely. We'll see you next time. And everybody, if you have any questions or comments, please leave them in the comment box. Anything that you have that you think will be a great topic to talk about, don't be shy. Leave it in the comment box also. We want to hear what people want to know about so we could talk about those topics and really touch base and go deep and dive really into the topics and really answer questions that are really taboo and people don't really want to talk about. Well, we want to make it topics that everybody wants to hear. So leave your comments, your feedback, and any ideas that you might have for our prior and future podcasts, let us know.